Welcome to the Snowfighters Institute podcast, featuring conversations with leaders in professional snow and ice management about what's working, what's challenging, and what matters most in our industry. Here's your host, Phil Harwood.
All right, welcome back, Snowfighters, to another episode of the Snowfighters Institute podcast. I'm your host, Phil Harwood, and I'm joined today by Carla and Joe Policastro from Cycle CPA. Thank you both for being here today.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you for having us.
So full disclosure up front, I have a relationship with these folks, and we've known each other for several years, as your firm's been a great resource for my companies. For those of you listening who don't know, I own a consulting business that specializes in succession planning for business owners, mergers and acquisitions and things like that. I am also a partner in a law firm that focuses on estate planning and business law. Tamarisk Business Advisors is my consulting firm. Tamarisk Legal Advisors is my law firm. And Cycle CPA is our bookkeeper for both firms, and we're very happy clients. So thank you so much for taking good care of us.
Absolutely, Phil. And it's always nice to even see a mutual client come aboard Cycle CPA, because if there's one thing that we've noticed, especially, you know, throughout the years, is whenever we see, you know, someone that you've been working with, they always seem to be doing great just overall within their business. And it just comes to more of just fine tuning things, maybe on the accounting side and bookkeeping. What you do is incredibly needed in the industry as well. So thanks, Phil.
For sure. I think one of the reasons I was so excited to have you on the podcast, and this is long overdue, by the way, we should have done this, you know, a year or two ago, but there is such a need. And I just constantly am running into contractors who are probably like every other service business in the world. They're focused on taking care of their clients. They're focused on operations. They're focused on people, and they're out in the field. They don't want to be sitting in the office doing bookkeeping, and it's tough to hire the right people and do this stuff internally. And so, you know, when I start working with someone and we start talking about budgeting and financial information and financial reviews, it's the last thing they want to deal with. Well, probably the last thing I want to deal with is their estate planning, but that's for another podcast. But, I'm just such a big believer in having a rolling budget and having monthly financial reviews. And, you know, I feel for the business owner who doesn't have timely and accurate information where they can make decisions. So they're making decisions without that information. So they're kind of in the dark. They're going on gut feel. They probably look at their bank account every day or every hour to see how much money's in the bank. But that doesn't really, that's not the full picture, is it?
No.
This is a part of the picture. I mean, and so, this might be a good jumping point for Carla for you to tell us a little bit about your background as a CPA and some of the work that you've done, and what do you see with service businesses? Do you see the same things I'm seeing out there?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm one of the co-founders here at Cycle CPA. Joe's my husband. We're husband and wife team. CPA here. And yeah, I guess what we see in service-based businesses is that in the green industry, in the snow industry, right, it's seasonal. And so that's in any business, even product-based, every business has its challenges, right? And our job is to hone in on those challenges and how can I help them as an accountant, as a CPA, as a financial professional. And one of the things is seasonality and helping business owners out managing their cash flow, making sure that they have enough cash reserves, say, for the non-busy seasons. And that may vary in the country depending on where they're at, right? Some may have two months where they're out, 4 months. Maybe you're busy all year round, right? But our job is always to mitigate risk. And even in an economic downturn, you'll have to have some cash reserves. So that's the first thing we see The second thing is with the service-based business is hours, right? Your employees and the hours they work and managing that and knowing how many hours is budgeted toward a specific job and really helping these guys out like with track and time, you know, and knowing how that affects their financials and really getting them dialed in with their numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Joe, what do you want to add on to that?
You know, I think as kind of when you look at the industry, a lot of people get into it not necessarily with things like the financials in mind, you know, or even a lot of aspects about more of the business operations. You know, it's more about those initial thoughts of performing the work on the projects, you know, and you know, some of the snow removal and different items that have to be done. But I think as companies get into it over time, and even coming from a professional services perspective, managing an accounting firm's financials and the cash flow and certain aspects of that are not as challenging as a landscape or snow removal company. So there are, as Carla mentioned, when it comes to seasonality, cash flow challenges, it's a very labor intensive industry, right? A lot of these things where, yeah, they're, you know, the mindset might not be initially on the financial aspect, but it is very well needed, especially in this industry. And I'm sure, Phil, you see, especially as companies look to scale, I mean, it could be a major bottleneck for sure.
Yeah, and we're on the Snow Fighters Institute podcast where snow is even more variable depending on how your contracts are set up. And even if you do have good revenue, you know, costs can be all over the place. So, but man, I just think about the business owner that didn't have the advantage of, you know, going to business school before they started their business. They didn't learn about financial reporting. They maybe just get really lost when it comes to balance sheets and depreciation. And so this whole world of financials just very quickly becomes frustrating, overwhelming. And I think there's just such a big need for your services. And I'm just so glad that we have this relationship. And I would hope that if somebody is, you know, struggling with their financials, that they reach out to you guys. So we'll get your contact info at the end here. But so I want to hear more about the business. So when I hear the, you know, anything with a CPA in it, I automatically think, okay, this is a tax firm that's doing tax reporting and they're doing tax planning. And the last thing they would ever want to do is bookkeeping because, you know, most CPAs hate bookkeeping and probably don't even know how to open up QuickBooks. So they just want to do taxes. So what's different about your firm? Tell us about your firm.
Yeah. So actually I'll tell you a little bit about how we started out because it kind of ties into what we do, right? So I started out as an accountant at a local accounting firm in our area in Long Island. And I'm Hispanic. I'm from Ecuador. And so a lot of the area that I was working in had a lot of Hispanic business owners. And naturally, a lot of construction, you know, work and landscape work, although we did help all businesses under the sun there. But through that, I really liked talking with landscapers specifically. And I think it was just the relationships that I held with those people that came in and sat next to me right on my computer. And they were trying to learn what the P&L was, what the balance sheet was, how their estimating process should work out, project costing and budgeting. And so I became more familiarized with the landscape and snow industry in that sense. And, you know, hardworking people kind of reminds me of like my grandpa. He did a lot of landscape work growing up, and, you know, he stayed home with us a bit too, but, you know, it just drew me to that. But you know, after that, I worked at one of the larger CPA firms doing some audit work. So my passion was really driven from helping people understand their financials, right? Through budgeting, through project costing. And so when we, Joe and I started the firm, our idea was never, we're going to provide taxes, or we're going to open this up to help people with taxes. It was more of like, how can we just sit and help people understand their financials? Like, there's not enough of that, because, mm-hmm. you know, there are a lot of firms that do the compliance work, tax returns each year, and they're able to help you with bookkeeping and stuff like that. But then the conversation drops off, and I wanted to put like that advisory based, more conversational based service up front when we opened up our company. So that was the front of mind when we opened up the firm. And so we actually didn't even provide taxes at first, just because that's not really where my passion lied. I was more in that CFO space and really creating like a budget for the industry, and a cash flow forecast was one of the first things that we developed for the industry, because like we spoke about the seasonality and not being able to keep up with these costs that fluctuate. And I thought, well, this is actually going to be so beneficial for someone who wants to look on a week to week, like you mentioned, Phil, you know, you're checking in on your bank account balance, which, okay, it's good, right? But you more want to look at, what do my future cash flows look like, and what should I be watching out for? What can I get? What should I anticipate in the following weeks? So our firm was built around that. And of course, accounting services, because without good accounting, you can't have like a good forecast, a good budget, right? You have to have that in place. And then a few years later, when we developed a good relationship with some of the tax experts on our team, we added on tax and tax planning, which has been great. Again, even when we did add on the tax, it was more advisory driven. So more than 50% of our clients actually have tax planning meeting with our tax experts during the year, again, to kind of plan for the future and not be hit with the scary tax bill at the end of the year.
Yeah. How would you describe your service offerings?
Yeah, so we have the advisory piece built into every one of our packages. So I would say that we have kind of like a low tier, middle tier, and a higher tier. The low tier would be like your basic bookkeeping, where we deliver the financials every month by the 15th of the month. So we make sure we get that in to you by the 15th, so you can make decisions based off of your books, right? The earlier you get your numbers, the faster you can make decisions. And then having a quarterly advisory meeting. Joe and I created a CycleScape report, mm-hmm. and pretty much we thought about all the KPIs that a business owner would need to make a decision, right? Whether that's a hiring decision, adding on vehicles, trucks, machinery, equipment, stuff like that, how much you should pay yourself, because that's one of the first questions we get. It's, how can I pay myself? What's my budget? So we added that reporting layer in there, and the benchmarks, you know, so we take your numbers and we compare it against the industry average, which adds another layer of analysis for us. So we're able to pinpoint, hey, Phil, your direct labor, labor that's out doing the jobs, you know, putting down the pavers, doing the snow plowing, whatever that is, let's say 12% higher than your peers, right? So then we can really dig into that, look at your estimating process, stuff like that. So
it's huge.
Yeah. It's nice when you get to add another layer of analysis, because you always could compare your numbers to the prior year, right? But if you have mm-hmm. the industry average, that could just be just another thing that you base your decisions off of. And then that middle package, which is more of a monthly meeting, and then our CFO level service.
Yeah, great. I love the packages because it's cost certainty, right? I know what I'm going to pay for this service level. I can budget for it. There's no surprises. And I know you guys do one-off. You've done some projects for me, but you know, I just love that things are stable and there's a relationship that's known. Because sometimes, you know, in my experience working with CPAs, you know, they're like attorneys, and I'm an attorney. And attorney, one of the bad things about most attorneys is they bill by the hour, which means they bill by the minute. So, and they bill in 6 minute increments. And I've seen CPAs do this too, where they have these timekeeping programs where every time they think of you, it's 6 minutes. So like, okay, I just thought of six clients. I'm billing every one of them 6 minutes. I'm 5 minutes into my morning here. I've already billed out 36 minutes, you know? And so there's a game there, right? And then all of a sudden at the end of the year, you get a bill for, you know, whatever. And it's like, well, time out. Like, where'd all this come from? And if they actually showed you all the timekeeping, it would be just that. It would be like crumbs they've been collecting all year. And then all of a sudden you get this ginormous bill at the end of the year. So I like that you guys don't do that. So good job. Yeah. Tell me about your staff. You guys have a big team. Like how, talk to me about the size and the quality of your people. And are they all in one place? Or are they dispersed? They work virtually, or how does that work?
Yeah, Phil. So we, you know, I think with any professional services company, I mean, that's really the key to any sort of success, you know, of what we're trying to do here. And that's one of my main missions at the company, is to find great people. And our team, we all work fully remote, which is something that allows us to target the best people at what they do, you know, instead of being more kind of locked into one location that we're almost kind of forced to just look within. It allows us to broaden where we can look for some great talent. And you know, it's a, you know, really a firm. We have about 30 team members right now. And we're, you know, as a firm, we are continuing to grow at a stable rate. But it's been great over the years, seeing people here just kind of starting, not really having any knowledge or insight into the snow industry or green industry, and you know, being able to build that over time and kind of grow within the firm as well. And, you know, it's something that we're always looking to invest more and more into our team, and trying to figure out, okay, how can we build people up? Because that's really where we've seen the most success as well, Phil, is, you know, yes, I mean, we've definitely taken on some supervisory level people and, you know, senior level accountants from other firms and, you know, other places, but where we've seen a lot of success is just being able to you know, really diagnose, okay, who are some of the great people that we can really kind of grow within the firm. And you know, so, but it's one of the more rewarding aspects of the role is to just help people reach their goals. You know, that's mm-hmm. that's really you know, because after a time, I think it gets, you know, I think Carl and I have reached certain goals and stuff like that, but I think it's definitely refreshed us as we've kind of been able to see other team members reach their goals and what, you know, what they're shooting for as well. So
yeah, well, I've had the pleasure to interact with several different people on your team over the years, and they've all been fantastic. So you guys do a great job of recruiting and getting good quality people on your team. Yeah. How do you guys split work between the two of you? Because you not only have, you know, your personal tasks and chores and things to do, you know, but you also have business things. So what roles do you guys take on within the firm?
Yeah, and it's and I think this can apply, because this is even what we see a lot of times too, Phil. You know, a lot of our clients are husband wife teams too.
Mm-hmm, so, for sure.
You know, I think, yeah. As for my role within the firm, it's the recruiting side, which is what I mentioned. You know, I do help out with, you know, certain marketing aspects. Also, you know, not only finding good people to join the firm, but also, you know, potential clients that need some accounting help, right? So having those initial conversations. And we found, and I'll let Carla kind of dive into her role as well, but we found that it's helpful to keep things as separate as possible between, you know, as kind of like a husband and wife team, you know, working within the same company. Because listen, I mean, there's positives and there's negatives to it as well, you know. And but what we found is, you know, it's been definitely been a blessing overall to work closely with Carla and you know, and kind of being able to figure out, okay, what are those things that I'm fully responsible for, and then, you know, those things that Carla is.
Yeah, so it's funny because, you know, you face those challenges, and we used to just stumble into each other's offices and be like, hey, like, let's talk about this. And, you know, it was kind of all over the place and unorganized at first. And then we quickly found that's not going to work. So, you know, now we try to just have scheduled meetings with each other and go over things because it's more efficient that way. But, you know, funny things. But it's all been very, very rewarding working with Joe and the team here. A lot of the stuff that I do is I meet with some, you know, most of our top people here at the company, making sure that they know what the goals are at the company from, you know, weekly perspective, monthly, and then some of the company goals, right? Because they're out there, they're managing, you know, the people under them. And so I just want to make sure that everything at the company's running smoothly. Like I said, the business owners get their financials by the 15th. That's a big aspect of what we do, right? And so making sure everybody is on track. If anybody is out sick, you know, all of these things come up, right? Vacation, stuff like that, managing the team, keeping them motivated, and really training and building up our people so that they can do the same with their team members is really a big thing that I do on a day-to-day basis.
Okay. Well, thank you. I want to kind of explore your ideal customer and what kind of niches you're into. You mentioned landscaping, and obviously we're, you know, snow is a big part of the landscape world as well in the winter months. But Carla, let me go back to this. You mentioned, you know, your grandfather and your previous work before you started Cycle CPA, and you talked about, you know, working with contractors and landscape companies and some different service businesses. And you say you were drawn to the landscape industry. Can you talk a little bit more about that? You mentioned that you were, but what is it about the landscape industry that attracted you?
Yeah, you know, I think I see a lot of myself in a lot of landscapers, although I don't do landscaping work. Mm-hmm. But like I said, growing up in an immigrant household, you know, and seeing my grandparents and my mother work really hard, you know, doing manual labor jobs is just something that's inside of me, you know, that I've watched and I grew up with, and seeing what hard work really is. And so when I worked at the first firm and just being exposed to the landscapers that I work closely with, it, the same kind of characteristics that I see there, hardworking, wanting to learn more and better themselves, which is a lot of what, you know, I grew up with, and you know, wanting to make sure that they take care of their families and putting their kids through school and, you know, helping out their staff members so that they could do the same. And so I think it was a little bit deeper for me as far as the connection went. Like I said, it was really just the relationships that I had with a lot of the landscaping companies that I worked with.
Yeah, I think it's really powerful when business owners, founders of businesses, can articulate what was really driving them, you know, what that mission is, that what their passion is, and why they're doing what they're doing. And sometimes people can't. And you know, if it's just about the money, it's not enough. Like, it's got to be more than that.
Yeah.
So thank you so much. I love that. Can we just do a little quick segue off to the side here and then come back to the business? You mentioned growing up in an immigrant family household. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm an immigrant myself. I came here to the U.S. when I was one from Ecuador. And my mom had me when she was 16. So there was challenges there growing up with a younger mom, right? And my grandparents were also immigrants. So, you know, they spent a lot of time working. My mom and my grandma had two jobs. At most points in my life, they had two jobs, and having to learn everything on my own, including just speaking English. But then, you know, growing up and being the first one in my family going to college, just working full time to pay off college and then going into master's program and stuff like that. So a lot of the stuff is, you know, putting myself through it and not having anybody else to kind of support or be there. But, and I'm talking about like from a financial, from like, yes, I've gone to college, here's what the process looks like, here's how you fill out your FAFSA form kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And just figuring that out on my own. I wouldn't change it for a thing, just because it really taught me to be resilient and be flexible and take on stress. And as you know, Phil, owning a business comes with stressful moments and hardships at times. Mm-hmm. I think it's just, kind of, you know, shaping me to become a business owner. So I really, you know, think back on that in a positive way.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's very inspiring, and it's just great to have you kind of walk us through that. Joe, I don't want to leave you hanging here, because you also have a story. So tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, Phil. And, you know, I think, and I was kind of thinking as you mentioned that, Phil, because I think it's such a phenomenal point in regard to, yeah, like looking at the financials is great, you know, making a profit is great, but as those different things come up in your business, or just even over time, I think if you don't have that why behind what you do, and maybe kind of that reasoning behind it, I think it becomes difficult to kind of sustain over time. And mm-hmm. I think my, you know, when I kind of think about some of the journey, I think it even happened before I was born, in essence, Phil, because my father, you know, I think instilled some of that resilience in me. So my sister Angela, when she was born, she had brain damage, and there was, wow, at the time in Long Island, New York, there were no hospitals, or I should say there was nowhere else beside being in a hospital that she could be to basically survive. And my parents had to go to Connecticut, where ultimately there was a place that could help her. So she was there for about a year. And unfortunately, so my parents during that time, you know, they had to travel back and forth, you know, from Long Island over to Connecticut, because that was the best place for her to be at the time. And there was, you know, my parents got the call, you know, that she wasn't doing well up in Connecticut. And unfortunately, she had passed away, and my dad was on the highway there. He couldn't even make it. So his car ended up breaking down on the way to go see her. And so my dad basically fought for the past, you know, after that, he had fought for about 5-10 years and advocated in New York to try to get specialized homes and case management for children that are similar to what Angela experienced. Mm-hmm. You know, kids that are very dependent on technology and, you know, need very intensive help from nurses, you know, 24/7 help. So he had, you know, since then, the past 30, 40 years, he's, you know, started a company called a nonprofit called Angela's House, has helped tens of thousands of kids throughout Long Island, also opened up three specialized homes on Long Island that have 24/7 nursing and kids that they help.
Wow.
And I think that my goal is ultimately is to give back tremendously to Angela's House. And, you know, I think that's what first kind of came to mind, Phil, when you had mentioned kind of what are those things that I think drive you, or, you know, even past some of the numbers, you know, especially, you know, maybe sometimes when that day to day could kind of get a little, you know, some of the ups and downs of running a business. So that's, you know, a little bit of my story.
Can I just stay with you, Joe, for a minute? So you're not a CPA. What's your work history? What were you doing before you got involved in an accounting firm, bookkeeping firm?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's, you know, definitely different things. I mean, I had worked on a ship as a merchant mariner, so I was an officer, similar to how a pilot on a plane would be, you know, using the radar and different things to get you from point A to point B safely. It was similar to that, but we were working on cargo ships, you know, so was kind of thrown into a lot of responsibility right out of the service academy. But what that taught as well was, I think, the importance of checklists and systems and, you know, when you have a lot of money on the line and even people's lives, you know, so. And I think being able to, you know, ultimately have a good setup within the business, especially on the operations side, you know, running a tight ship, in essence, you know, in the business world, I think ultimately reflects into a better client or customer experience, you know. So that's, but yeah, that was a little bit part of what I did in the past too. So.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. So we went on a little segue there. We're going to come back because we're not done talking about the business. All right. So tell us who your ideal client is. Is there a geographic area? Is there an industry? Are you only landscape, or kind of landscape has tentacles, right? What about tree companies? What about irrigation? What if it was a restaurant? You know, like, would you do that? And so who's it? Maybe size. Is there a size element to this? Like, who's an ideal client? Where are they? What do they look like? And I'll let either one of you answer that question.
Sure, Phil. Yeah. So we, in regard to industry, you know, when we say the green industry and even snow and ice, that's really our focus. And as you mentioned, Phil, you know, a lot of companies that do landscape also have that snow added on as a service. We are flexible though with size of companies that we work with, ranging anywhere between 100,000 in annual revenue all the way up to around 25 million in annual revenue. And even in regard to just like the service scope. So there are some companies where we take a little bit more of a hands-off approach. We might just help with certain advisory aspects, whereas other companies we do really most of the accounting that has to be done within the company.
Okay.
So, and then in regard to the specifically, in regard to some of the service lines that some of these companies operate in, or just the services, is really anything from tree care, irrigation, lawn maintenance, lawn care, all the way to more of installation based work, design build, softscape, landscape work. So.
Okay. Would you turn away a client if they were in a different industry?
So that's a good question. There is a small percentage of our clients that they have a spouse that has a restaurant, or they've even invested into, you know, another type of business. So that is common. So we can definitely support those kind of companies. It's okay. Just what I like to be straightforward with in those scenarios is, there are, like, especially if you look at our website and see some of the different things that we can offer, a lot of the advisory capabilities, benchmarking, a lot of those different specifics can't be done with those industries as much because we don't have that data. But we can definitely support them on the accounting side and kind of help them with that.
No, that's fair. And that totally makes sense. Well, I know that you can take care of consulting firms and law firms because you're helping me. So there's two of your one-offs. Who do you compete with? Like, what are you just competing with like people that are trying to do it themselves? Or is there another knockoff of Cycle CPA out there that you're bumping into, or are you guys it?
That's a good question, Phil. Really? I mean, there doesn't necessarily, so I would say there are some, I don't know how to say it, maybe companies that might do certain consulting that have added on bookkeeping as kind of like a service offering per se, but most of the clients actually come from, you know, maybe they're using a local CPA and they kind of want maybe more of that industry expertise. So,
yeah. Okay. What do you think really sets your firm apart? I think maybe you've already answered this, but that's just one of my standard questions I like to ask. Like, you know, why hire you? Kind of that question, right? What would you say to that?
Yeah, I would say, the people that we have working for us and kind of join into the mission, right? That we want to help the niche, you know, landscapers, snow removal companies that we work with. And they're 100% focused in on that, knowing the challenges of those people, right? Knowing how they operate, the jargon, and the way that we put the relationship first. Rather than, hey, we just do accounting, here you go, see you later. We want to put that relationship first, really join you on that journey into whatever your goals are. And to us, it's fun as accountants because then on the back end, we get to, like, from, I guess, like maybe each quarter internally, like we'll share one of our clients, like growth. Hey, this is where they started with us. They didn't have job costing. They didn't have a good estimating method. Now look 6 months down the line, look at the metrics, right? Because we're accountants, so we like to see numbers at the end of the day and see positive trends. And so the people that we work with here, they're proud of that. They want to have a say. They don't want to just stand behind a computer and crunch numbers. They want to have that relationship with the people that they work with. And that's the first thing that we make sure when we hire people is like, hey, do you like working with others? Do you find this as a passion of yours? Where I think others, you know, other accountants may be more introverted and may want to stay behind the scenes, and that's okay. There is places for those accountants, but I would say that's what you would get with us.
How do you work with companies that really don't have any administrative capacity internally? Like there's nobody there. Like there's probably somebody that can open up the mail, but that's it. Like nobody's able to enter anything. There's no payables being entered. It's just like, how do you deal with those companies?
I would say if you're on the smaller side, we're directly dealing with the business owner at that point, right? Because if they don't have any other administrative help or anything like that. And really technology is key. Like we'll implement Bill, which is an accounts payable, accounts receivable software platform where, you know, you can download the app on your phone and click away and scan in bills and receipts and stuff like that. And we'll see it on our end and pay the bills for you and enter those receipts into QuickBooks. So we utilize technology to our advantage in those circumstances. So that way it could be more efficient for us and also for the business owners that we work with.
Yeah. And you mentioned software. I would assume you have to get to, you've been able to, or needed to become well-versed in all of the common software platforms that are out there, right? Because yeah. you're pulling information from them, or maybe even involved in some advisory services as far as implementations and things like that. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, for sure. So, which is another advantage of just specializing in the industry is people tend to, you know, go with the most popular softwares out there. And so that we take that to our advantage. So we have like Element, Jobber, Aspire, synced up as common softwares that we work with. Those softwares sync to QuickBooks Online. What we do the most is we see that the sync goes through smoothly on a month-to-month basis. So if it's pushing over your invoices and there's errors or anything associated with that, because as you know, Phil, with software, it's not always squeaky clean. There may be some errors along the way, and we troubleshoot them because we're familiar with the software. We make sure it lands into your QuickBooks account correctly and reconcile those invoices with the deposits and payments. Sometimes we are, especially with Aspire, we are part of the implementation calls because now we get to Aspire, which is a more complicated CRM. It's actually an accounting software in itself that we need to close out each month along with QuickBooks Online. But for most softwares, we're there to make sure that the cost codes are mapped correctly over to QuickBooks Online to make sure they're both are talking to each other and we're able to do the month-end close smoothly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. Thank you. We probably only have a few more minutes here and we're going to close up, but I want to hear about your involvement with the industry kind of as a whole. Like, are you going to trade shows? Or are you going to conferences? Where might people bump into you? Cycle CPA, that is.
Yeah, so each year we go to the GIE, and that's in Kentucky, and I believe it's in October. Each year it's in October, so we go there. Joe, do you know the booth number off of the top of your head?
Equip Expo is booth 272, so.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah,
we're recording this in May, and you already know that.
Well, it's because I just paid for the payment the space yesterday.
Okay, if you're in Kentucky in October, CIE, yeah, or Equip Expo now.
Yeah.
Well, we've been there for
probably five.
Is this our fifth year going?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You guys also have regular webinars, right, on your website?
Yeah. Yeah. And depending on when this airs, Phil, we have the one coming up where you're going to be joining us, which is going to be awesome.
We do. Yeah, for sure. And the website address is?
So Cycle CPA.
Keep it simple.
Yeah.
Cycle CPA. Is it the best way to reach out to you guys to I'm assuming you have a contact form, things like that on your website. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so anywhere that they schedule a call goes directly to my calendar. And then even, if they if anybody wants to be added as an attendee for the to register for the upcoming webinar as well, they can reach out to me or you, Phil.
For sure. Yeah, we'll hook them up. All right, well, let's do kind of last final comments, closing remarks. If you will, any advice, kind of last comments to snow and ice contractors out there? Joe, why don't you go first, and Carla, can wrap it up.
Absolutely, Phil. You know, I think what it comes down to, and I even think about this oftentimes with Cycle CPA, how can I leverage other people's expertise in certain areas where I either don't have the time to do it or I don't have the expertise, and you know, whether it's IT or marketing and other aspects. And I think that's really one of the main things that we want to serve the industry with, you know, is to be able to be that solid accounting foundation that can grow with them. So, you know, but don't be afraid to reach out. I mean, it's rare that clients reach out to us initially that have everything figured out on the accounting side and their books are completely clean. So Don't feel like, you know, don't be embarrassed or anything like that if, you know, your accounting is not where you want it to be initially.
Great. Carla?
Yes. So I guess to piggyback off of what Joe was saying is 99% of the time when we onboard a new client, their books need to be cleaned up and there's a cleanup period We even have a specialized cleanup department because of that. So definitely don't be embarrassed if
you're cleaning up in aisle 9.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, we get it done in an efficient way. Typically takes about 4 weeks, but all of that to say is the importance of knowing your numbers and making sure that you're making decisions in the company that you feel confident about, because you talked them through with somebody else. You looked at the numbers, the metrics, and you're going into it in a confident way, right? And you're not second guessing yourselves and you're planning for the future.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I love what you guys do, what you bring to the industry. It's so needed. So check out Cycle CPA, hit the webinars, book an appointment. Even if you're doing your own bookkeeping now, at least take a look at it, because you know, this might be just one more of those things you can outsource and not have to deal with. Let the professionals handle it. It's probably way more cost effective. I know for me, it's just peace of mind. I know it's taken care of. I don't have to worry about it. I can worry about other things I have to worry about in my business. So I love it. And thank you so much for sharing your time with us today. We appreciate both of you. And we'll see you on our webinar here next month.
Thanks again, Phil.
Thank you,
Phil. Right.
Thanks for listening to the Snow Fighters Institute podcast. Subscribe so you don't miss future episodes and check out our upcoming events at snowfightersinstitute.com.